And so we're going to just get ready to jump right in to our new series this morning. Tim, I'm going to take control of that. Today we're starting a new series called Not of This World. And this series is about living faithfully in a noisy world. Who knows that the world is noisy today? Right? It's noisy. And today's title of the sermon is Why Jesus Prayed, and we'll get into that. If you'd like, open your Bibles to John chapter 17 this morning so you're ready for that. I'm very thankful for my son, Caleb, because Dad forgot his Bible at home, and so I'm using my son's Bible this morning in church. And so mark the calendar that Pastor did not have his Bible in church on Sunday. What'd she say? Oh, that was Matthew. You were quick on that. No chocolate for me. Listen, if anybody pays attention for more than 5 minutes, you know that the world is chaos. The stories that we hear, the news, the breaking alerts, the phone blowing up with the latest on Facebook, TikTok, news stations everywhere. Literally everywhere we go today, there is noise. There is just plain old noise. Headlines, opinions, fear, anger, bad news stacked on top of more bad news. And frankly, if you let that bad news just continue to hit you, it starts to impact you. It starts to have an impact on how you view things or how you feel about things. And even as Christians today, it can affect us. It can affect us where we start to feel anxious, where we feel worn down, we feel overwhelmed. You might even feel reactive, and sometimes you can just feel plain old numb to what's going on in the world because there's bad news everywhere that we go. But the tension that many believers feel, this is not just new for us today. This is not something we've just started to experience. Instead, this is something that the people of the Lord have always felt. Because the people of the Lord have always lived in broken, chaotic, and uncertain times. Period. We all have been it. And the question is not whether the world is loud or it's too loud that we can't hear Jesus. The question is how are followers of Jesus supposed to live in a very loud world? In a world that demands attention. In a world that says this is how you're supposed to live. This is what you're supposed to do. And in John chapter 17, this title is called the High Priestly Prayer. And Jesus gives us a very clear answer in his prayer as he is praying for his disciples. And before we get there, I just want you to use your imagination with me. Think about a boat. Think about a boat on water. A boat is designed to be in the water. We agree with that, right? That's its purpose. That's where it functions best. But the very moment that water gets into the boat, there's a problem. Right? There's a problem when boat gets in to that. The issue is not the water around the boat. The issue is the water inside of the boat. And in the very same way, Christians are meant to live in the world. We work here, we live here, we raise families here, we serve here, we love people here. But when the values, the fears, the priorities of the world get inside of us, it starts to sink something in our lives. And Jesus didn't pray, we're going to see this, Jesus didn't pray that we would be removed from the world. Instead, he prayed that we would live differently within the world. So what we're about to read is a portion of that prayer on the night before Jesus went to the cross. His disciples are about ready to face a lot of pressure, a lot of fear, a lot of confusion, like they have never seen or experienced before. And instead of praying that God would remove them from the world, what Jesus actually does is he prays that they would be faithful while being in the world. If you have your Bibles, open it to John chapter 17, 14 through 18, as we read our scripture today. And we're jumping right in the middle of this prayer. You can go back to verse 1 and you can read it all the way through after service if you'd like, so you have full context of the prayer. Verse 14 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Let's just pause there for a minute. Sanctify them in the truth. So what is the truth? And then Jesus tells us, your word is truth. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them, his disciples, his followers, the believers, have sent them into the world. Now, one of the reasons that Jesus came was not just to save us. That is, came to reconcile, but he came to shape a people who would live differently in the world. That there would be something different. And when Jesus says the world, I think it's important that we understand that he's not talking about people or geography. He came for all people. Instead, what Jesus is talking about, he's talking about the system of values that run contrary to his word. So it's not people, it's not geography, it's the world that runs opposite of the values of God. And notice what Jesus doesn't pray. He does not pray for removal from the world. Instead, he prays for protection within it. He does not call his faithful followers to be isolationist, where they just do their own thing and they're quiet to themselves, but they would live faithfully in the world amongst all the noise of the world. And I think it's important that we understand that this prayer wasn't just for his disciples. It is for every believer who would follow after them. It is for those of us today who professed Christ as Savior that this prayer is for. This is Jesus defining his people are meant to live in a broken and noisy world. To live faithfully, we have to understand first what our point is in this, and it is who we are. Jesus says they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. And this is an identity thing that we're facing right here. Jesus, again, he is not rejecting people, he's not rejecting creation, geography. He is simply drawing a line between two value systems. One that lives out without reference to him, one that could care less anything about him, and then one that is rooted in him. And Jesus here in this prayer, he ties our identity directly to his own. See, because he says, just as I am not of the world. So that means that our identity is not shaped by what surrounds you. We're going to pause there for just an extra moment so everybody can grasp that. Our identity is not shaped by what surrounds you. Your identity is shaped by who has claimed you. It is by who has claimed you. Scripture tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden in God. So hidden in God, we literally have the security of knowing that we belong to God through Christ Jesus. That we are secure. And when we understand that, we stop allowing our identity to be formed by the loudest voice in the room. We stop reacting to every pressure. We stop reacting to every breaking news story. We stop reacting to all the things. Listen, here's one thing that I can tell you that's going to be true in this world. Things are going to get so much infinitely worse before Jesus comes to claim his church. There's all the bad news you need today. It's only going to get worse, period. Scripture tells us that. It's very clear about that. And so in a world that is only going to get worse, it's only going to have 5,000 breaking news stories every moment of every day to consume every bit of your attention, we are secure in knowing who we belong to. And regardless of what happens in this world, we are secure in that. So living not of this world, it begins by understanding this truth. You belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. If you have professed faith in Christ this morning, settle the truth that you belong to Jesus. It is only when we do that that we can live present in the world without being swayed by the world. Our impact statement today is belonging determines behavior. Belonging determines behavior. But understand that belonging alone doesn't shape us automatically. Belonging alone doesn't shape us automatically. Here's the reality of that. When we understand what our identity is, that we are in Christ, there's a formation that still happens every single day. Kids, why do you go to school? To learn, right? Every day. We want to expand that knowledge. We want you to grow. We want you to get smarter, right? There's a formation that happens every single day. So the question here is, in our relationship with the Lord, what's shaping us? What is shaping you? Right now, in your walk with the Lord, are you letting the Lord shape you, or are you letting the world shape you? So what is shaping you this morning? Which brings us to point number two, what shapes us? Jesus prays in that prayer, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. See, Jesus knows that his followers are going to live in the world until he comes and he brings his church home. They are always going to live in the world. And so what he prays for is he prays for formation. He prays for their building up and their not their isolation, not their insulation from the world to keep the world at bay, but instead protect them when they are in the world. See, here sanctifying ultimately means to be set apart for the Holy Spirit, to be holy, to become holy. But it also means to be shaped. It means to be formed. And then it means to be set apart as the Holy Spirit does its work, his work in us. In other words, Jesus understands that something is always shaping you. Something is always going to be forming an opinion or turning your opinion a certain way or trying to get you to understand it or look at it from a different perspective. The question is not if we're being formed. The question is by what? Did you know that everybody in this room is being discipled? Well, that's a weird way to ask that, Mike. No, I don't know that every... If you have a phone, you're being discipled. If you have TikTok, you're being discipled. If you have Instagram, Facebook, Fox News, CNN, I don't care, you're being discipled. You're being discipled to think a certain way, to act a certain way, to have this response to this, to that, to other. So the question is, what is discipling you? What is it that is forming you? See, we live in a world that has constant input. Voices, images, opinions, headlines, commentary. Every piece of that information is out there trying to compete for our attention. It's trying to compete for our time. And over time, as we start to give ourselves to that, whatever you consistently give your time to, it's going to begin to shape how you think, how you feel, and how you respond. So if we want to live separate from the world, not of this world, and that's why Jesus points us to the one source of truth, his word. His word is the one source of truth. He says, your word is truth. Listen, you've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it many more times as long as I'm here. The world wants you to have a certain belief value. The world wants you to have a certain thing that you're okay with, not okay with, this, that, and the other. We could go on a whole spiel. We're not going to. If what you believe is in direct contradiction to God's word, what should you do? What was that? Say it louder.
Change.
Change. Guess what? You're wrong. And if you're offended that you're wrong, take it up with God, not me. His word can be offensive, especially when it's challenging our belief systems. Especially when it calls into question something that we've been taught to believe in a certain way. So if we know that the word of God is truth, and we know that Jesus wants us to be in his truth so we can be formed by the truth, are you reading your Bible every single day? Do you scroll TikTok every single day? Do you scroll Facebook every single day? Do you scroll Instagram every single day? Do you get on your news app every single day? Who has news notifications turned on that pops up with all the breaking news? Only two. No, there's got to be more than two of us in here. No, Tim says no. I get breaking news, and it's like, boy, it's just always in your face, isn't it, Ken? Everything's an emergency, everything's right now, everything, and it's just, you know what? Part of being on a cruise, the fun is when you leave port, you go port side, so you can watch the runners trying to make it to the boat. They're late, they're under some influence, it's fun watching them try to get to the boat. And the one night that we didn't watch, there was a picture of a guy carrying his wife running down the pier because they were late and the boat was getting ready to leave. Who knows that you don't take your passport with you. And if you get stuck on port and the boat's gone, you're in trouble, right? It creates issue. And where I'm going with that is that it's very easy for us to get distracted by all the glamour around us, by all the things that we miss where we're supposed to be. And that's in the middle of God's word. That is letting his word come in and change us, change our opinions, move us in such a way that we live for him. Scripture doesn't just inform us. This is not just informative. It's not just a book that has good ideas, but it's hard to put into practice. No, what Scripture does is the Holy Spirit takes that Scripture and he uses it to form us. Who is a sinner before relationship with Jesus? Okay, I could argue we're all still sinners now. Let me say it this way. Who is really dumb and bad before Jesus? Just me? I'm just the only one raising my hand high enough. Here we go. And how many of you are not dumb and bad today? Because the power of the Holy Spirit completely transformed you. He took what was bad and he took it out, and instead he replaced it with his Spirit and said, this is how we're going to live now. This is what we're going to do in life. That's the power of transformation in Scripture, of Scripture in your life. And in fact, Paul says in Romans 12:2, you can write this down, do not be conformed to this world, but be, does anybody know? Transformed by the what? The renewal of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Notice the contrast here. Conformity happens passively. It happens passively. Transformation happens intentionally. As we submit to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God, it will transform us. If we have not picked up our Bible in 3 weeks and wonder why everything in life stinks at the moment, can I submit that you should get into the Word of God? That was a really good place for somebody to say amen. Amen. If we are not in our Bibles, what are we doing? This is not TED Talk Sunday where pastor comes up with a good message. That is not what this is. This is a shepherd leading the sheep to the Savior. And without the Savior, we're all lost. So, I cannot come hold your hand every morning while you have coffee or while you get ready for school to make sure you're reading your Bible. But let me just impress upon you, one of the most important things that you could do as a Christian is to consume this. Not read it, consume. Literally consume the Word of God and let it transform your life. Because if you are not being shaped by the Word of God, you are going to be shaped by the world, whether or not you realize it. Something is shaping you, and what are you going to let it be? Living not of the world requires more than good intention. I can't just set out to not live of the world today. It requires dependence on God's work in us. It requires dependence on the Holy Spirit to lead me every single day, every conversation, every reaction to anything that I hear, do, or say. It requires a dependence on His work in me. And it requires consistent exposure to truth. If we don't have a good definition of what truth is, guess what? That's where you get comments like, well, it's my truth. You know what? No. Throw that out the window. Throw that out the window. Truth right here is found in Christ, in the Word of God. What fills your mind every single day eventually directs the life of the follower. Do I need to repeat that? What fills the mind every day eventually directs the life of the person. So what goes in is going to come out. And our impact statement on that is formation follows attention. So now we know who we are. Our identity is in Christ. And now we know what shapes us, either the world or God's Word. And that leads to one final question. Why does any of this matter? Why are we going through such a silly series like this? What are we actually here to do? And that brings us to point number three. Why we're here, and I forgot my apostrophe. Why we are here. Jesus prays, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Jesus makes it very clear here that his followers are not accidental participants in the world. So what does that mean for you? You are sent. You are sent. You are not here by coincidence. It is by no matter of coincidence that you are here. You are not here just to survive this life. You are not here to blend in. Contrary to popular belief, you are not here to blend in. You are here for a purpose. We are here for a purpose. Being not of this world does not remove us physically from the world. Instead, it gives us direction within the world. So in a world that has a value system of this, because we are followers of Jesus, our value system is found in this, and this is the lane with which we stay. Jesus does not send his followers to be reflection of the world back to itself. He sends them in to reflect him, to represent him to a lost and broken world. So that means that your presence matters. Everyone's presence matters in this room. How you speak matters. How you speak has an impact. How you live matters. Did you know that you don't have to be loud to be faithful? You don't have to be loud to be faithful. You don't have to be reactive to be effective. See, what the believer is called to, and we'll see this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, we are called to live with a clarity, an understanding, consistency, and love in the middle of a broken world because our identity is found in Christ Jesus alone. And because we are found in that alone, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your life, your faithfulness, point others to the Lord. Our role is not to convince everyone. We asked the question this morning in Sunday school, out of the 8.3 billion people alive on this earth, 3.2 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus. And the question asked, does this seem, what was the question? It was burden or an opportunity? It was burden or opportunity. And so when we talk about this, our role is not to convince everyone. You do not carry the burden to go into all the world, to all 3.2 billion people. No, your role is also not to control the outcomes of those people, but it's to be obedient right where you're at with the step that the Lord is asking you to make. Maybe that starts in your sphere of influence. Everybody has heard me talk about sphere of influence. Maybe it's talking to those in your sphere of influence. Maybe He is calling you. Maybe He has laid a place in your heart that He is calling you to go serve. By all means, do not let me, do not let your grandparents, your parents, or your kids stop you from answering that call. Because that is what the Lord has called you to do. And if He has called you to do it, it is your utmost priority to make that happen. Our role is to live in such a way that in every encounter, Jesus is visible in us. That He is visible in everything that we do. When our identity is clear, and when transformation is ongoing, and it's building us up, and it's forming us, the mission becomes natural. We live not of this world. Instead, we live differently, not to stand out, but to point people to Christ. That is the whole point, is to point people to Christ. Our impact statement today on this point is we are went to represent Jesus. Listen, it was late last night, and I was making some last-minute edits on this because I had two slides duplicated and I didn't have, so that's my fault. We are sent to represent Jesus. Do you understand that this morning? This is not just a feel-good service where we come and we sing, we say we're part of the church family. No, each and every single one of us who have a beating heart in our chest has been called to go, has been called to represent Jesus. And to share Jesus with everybody that we know. So each of us are sent to represent Jesus. So now you've seen it. You've seen it. You've heard it. You know who we are. You know what shapes us. And you know why we're all here. And all of it flows from one prayer out of John chapter 17 that Jesus prayed for His disciples and His followers. Now the question becomes personal today. Now we have to ask ourselves internally, how am I living in the world today? How am I living in the world today? Jesus' prayer is not a suggestion. It's a calling. To follow Christ means we no longer are drifting through, letting life shape us in whatever loudest microphone has it, whatever is pushing us left or right. It means that we are not letting the world shape our value system. It is not shaping who we are. It means that you live with conviction, with clarity, and with purpose. Conviction means our identity and belongings in Jesus. It is our conviction that we know that we belong to Jesus and He loves everybody. He wants them to come to Him. We belong to Jesus even when it's uncomfortable. Even when it's inconvenient. Clarity means we know where our truth comes from. We are shaped by God's Word, not the constant noise of the world. So if you want some shaping to take place in your life, get in to the Word of God. And purpose means that we understand why we are here. Not to blend in, not to withdraw, but to represent Christ Jesus to all people. This is not just about this week. It's not just about today. It's not about, oh, what can I do at lunch to do what Pastor was talking about. No, this is about your life as a whole, as a Christian. This is about your entire life. At some point, every believer, and if you haven't done it in here yet, you will do it, because everybody, and I'm not like, you will do it, like I'm going to force you to make, no, everybody's going to come to a point in their life where they have to make this decision. What will I stand for? What will shape my thinking? What will influence my life? What am I going to live for? Because if we don't choose intentionality, guess what? The world will gladly choose for you what you should believe. The world will gladly come in and say, this is what you need to believe. And that's why we need lives that are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Able to say, and this comes from the book of Acts, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to be in ministry partnership with the Holy Spirit. Living not of this world means we live anchored in Jesus, not reactive to our situations. It means that we live faithful, not fearful. I will not fear. Present in the world, but not persuaded by the world. And when we live this way, it's not just for our own spiritual health. It is so that as a church, we can continue engaging our community for Jesus. Not by blending in with the world, not by retreating from it, but by living faithfully, lovingly, boldly, and representing Christ clearly wherever it is that he sends us or has us currently. That is the call of Christ. That is the life of a disciple. And that is what it means to be not of this world. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I'd like to pray quick. Holy Spirit, Lord, we welcome you. We invite you to be here today. We ask that you would draw hearts to response, that you would tug on the hearts of those that you're trying to do things with. Lord, that you would align lives in alignment with your value system, to be of this world but not of this world. And would you glorify Jesus in every response that is had in these next few moments as you speak to the people and as they respond? Would it bring glory to the name of Jesus? In Jesus' name, amen. Church, everything we've talked about today begins with one question. Who do you belong to? And if you can't say, I belong to Jesus Christ, then I need to speak to you. I need you just to hear this. So if we can just close our eyes, bow our heads, or just bow your head, just hear my words. Who do you belong to? The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13 goes on to say, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Salvation, it is not about trying harder. It is not about doing more. It is not about becoming religious. It's about surrendering your life to Jesus. So if you're here today and you know that you don't belong to him, or you've walked away and you know in this moment right now you need to return to him, today, this is your moment. This is for you today. I believe right now that the Holy Spirit is drawing hearts. He's preparing people. And he's calling you. And maybe the calling is the first time you hear him saying, come to me. If that's you, don't ignore his voice this morning. By a show of hands, if that is you, if you're saying, hey, I feel the presence of God is inviting me into relationship, to be in relationship with Jesus, would you just raise your hand right where you're at? Is there anybody in the room? Praise the Lord. Here's how I want to open the end for us today as we respond. as the Holy Spirit leads, as He calls. There's a couple of calls that I want to put out there. If you're a believer, the first one is if you're a believer and you know that your heart needs some realignment, come to the altar. The altar is open. This right now, this is a moment for you to lay things down at the foot of the cross to re-anchor your life in Christ. The second call is this. If you desire to live more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, if you want the Holy Spirit to lead more in your life, it requires us to have some sensitivity and some obedience to it. If you're saying, I want to be led, not reactive, I want to be formed and not conformed, the altar is open. There's no pressure. This is just a moment of opportunity to step out in obedience to what the Lord is calling you to do. So as the worship team plays, we're going to take just a few moments, give an opportunity to respond to the Lord. And I will just say this. You might be forever changed by what the Lord is willing to do when you step out in a simple yes. So church, the altar is open.